Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray from the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Hope you've been loving it. And thanks again to CISO for sponsoring today's episode. Look, if you guys like comedy and you want all your favorites in one place, CISO is for you. It's a premium comedy streaming service. That's right, streaming. What does streaming mean? The internet, Dad, with original series, quotable classics, next day late nights, stand-up specials, and more. Our boy Rory Scovel has a stand-up special on there. He's hilarious. A former guest of the About Last Night podcast. Just go see it for yourself, all right? CISO's got all 40 seasons of SNL, the entire Monty Python library, Kids in the Hall, both versions of The Office, Steve Carell and Ricky Gervais, hilarious brand new exclusive stand-up and series from people like Upright Citizens Brigade, Dan Harmon, Scott Aukerman, and Jonah Ray. And it's every single week. Plus, it's 100% ad-free and only costs $3.99 a month. All right? Go see for yourself for free right now at CISO.com. Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, your Android, your iPhone, wherever you get the podcast. If you haven't given us a rating yet, go to iTunes right now. Type in About Last Night. 5-star rating. Comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts and makes us feel good. Lets us know that you guys are listening and loving what we're putting out. The emails and tweets have been awesome. Fan of the week is coming back on Monday. So keep those emails and tweets coming. Even if it's just a quick email of how the podcast affects your life, how you found it, maybe a favorite episode, something you connect with. We love all those personal stories. It makes it more real for us doing this. And of course, you know, the face-to-face interactions with you guys at shows, you can't beat that. But if we can't see you live, you know, hit us up through the web, through the World Wide Web. That's how people connect now. Soon it's not even going to be email. Soon we're going to have, like, telepathic fucking virtual reality goggles. Dude, I swear to God, I had a conversation the other day with somebody. They were like, it was a buddy of mine from college. And he said he got the virtual reality porn goggles. And he goes, dude, we're fucked. He goes, the world is fucked. When everybody gets access to these, he had some sort of special tech buddy that got him a pair. And he's like, dude, it's we're all fucked. It's too real. I wore these things and just simulated fucking for like 3 hours. I'm like, shit. But also, where do you get those? Was my second question. Today's episode is a very special episode. We have the band Cardinox. Heard of them? Yeah, you probably have. And if you haven't, you will. They are climbing the pop charts. Signed by Warner Brothers recently. Just got off a big tour with Carly Rae Jepsen. Don't call me, maybe. And you can't say Carly Rae Jepsen without doing that. It's impossible. One of the band members, Lonnie Angle, a good friend of mine, sister of one of my best friends of all time, Dwight Angle. I've known Lonnie since she was born. She's, I think 7-8 years younger than I am. So, hanging out with Dwight as a kid, she was always there. We went to the same temple together. We did plays in high school together. And now her and Thomas Dutton, her bandmate here, they are taking over the world. Their music is incredible. They came up with this music video for a song called On My Way, which won a bunch of awards. It's online. It's an incredibly inventive and artistic music video. This podcast was so great because we like to have on, once we had the Goo Goo Dolls on, we were like, man, getting more musicians is dope because it's very similar to the world of comedy as far as like the grind and the journey and how people get into it. And their story is so interesting, and just how they both came from different parts of Seattle. Lonnie being involved in the theater world for so long, meeting Thomas, moving to New York to try to develop a musical, and then how the band's spun out of that. It's pretty incredible. And obviously they're funny people. It's a comedy podcast, so these interviews never just get straight up, so tell us about when you decided music was your love. It's real funny. Lonnie is just so fucking funny. One of the things I remember and love most about being friends with Dwight is when she'd be around and we would be stupid and you know, just dumb young idiots, she would laugh and thought we were hilarious. So it was a great interview. They have a show in L.A. on Tuesday, April 26th at the Echo. If you're in town, Brad and I will be there. Dwight will be there. Lonnie and Thomas Cardinox will be performing Tuesday, April 26th at the Echo. Get your tickets at cardinox.com. And go to see them on tour. They're about to hit, I think, a tour again in the summer. So go see them live. All their info is at cardinox.com. On Twitter again at Cardinox, CardiKnox. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. And go see Brad Williams on tour. Well, tonight through Saturday, Brad and I are both in Austin, Texas, at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, doing shows, doing podcasts, some really dope guests that we've already lined up, and a few we're trying to get. Keep your fingers crossed, Martin Short. Everybody just say Martin Short several times out loud to themselves at night before they go to bed, and maybe we can manifest that shit. Yeah, but we're doing shows. Tonight, I'm actually on the goddamn Comedy Jam, hosted by our buddy Josh Adam Myers. I think it's me, Joe DeRosa, the Sklar Brothers, and Big J Ogerson. I'm not sure where the venue is, but check your local listings. Google goddamn Comedy Jam, Moon Tower Comedy Festival, Austin, Texas, and I'm sure you'll find it. I think the show's at 8, wherever it is. Come see me. I'm going to be performing Four Non-Blondes, What's Up? And as you know, the show is stand-up, and then you perform a song with a live band. And it's the greatest show on earth. So come see me there. I think Brad is on the goddamn Comedy Jam on Saturday, and we're both on shows sporadically through the weekend. So check the schedule. Come see us. And then next weekend, Brad will be in Syracuse, New York, April 28th. Through May 1st at the Syracuse Funny Bone, April 28th through May 1st. Go see Brad, Syracuse Funny Bone. Get your tickets at funnybone.com. Next weekend, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts for the first time at Laugh Boston, April 28th through the 30th. Come see me, Laugh Boston. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. All my tour dates on there. Arlington Draft House coming up, Las Vegas Laugh Factory, Tampa Improv. A lot of fun. Bonnaroo, of course, I'm going to be at in June in Tennessee, which I'm so pumped. Me, Adam Devine, Pete Davidson, Judd Apatow, Pearl Jam. Going to be the best. Of course, when you're coming to these shows, get your merch at astoymerchandise.com. All your ALN merch, hats, mugs, shirts, posters, baby. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them for you, take pictures. ESTOYmerchandise.com for all of your ALN merch. Separation Anxiety, thanks for watching, guys. Still TBS's highest rated new show. Loving that. Keep watching. DVR it. Tell your friends. Tuesdays, 10 p.m. TBS. Thank you so much for watching. Of course, follow the podcast on Twitter at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. I'm at AdamRay33 on Instagram. Brad's Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Brad and I have some cool news to share soon. We might be judges on the kids' baking competition show, which is going to be amazing. More shows coming up, more live pods. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, that's the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the amazing pop band, Lonnie Angle, Thomas Dutton. They are Cardinox.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it.
Wait, start recording.
I've covered that song so many times.
Start recording.
Are we recording?
You can't just
put your headphones.
Here, put the headphones on. Put the microphone in front of you.
How do we do this? What do we do?
What do we do?
Says the professional singer.
Yeah.
How do you make the noise in the microphone
what do
work?
We do?
Yeah, you can't just drop the name.
Can you hear yourself?
Cindy Lauper.
Hello.
And ooh, then just like
it's a radio ready voice.
Yeah. Can't just be like, oh yeah, we were hanging out with Cindy Lauper, and then you know other stuff happened, but whatever.
No,
you can't just jump over Cindy Lauper's.
Okay, we can talk about what you guys were doing at Apple, right?
Yeah, okay.
So it was a showcase for them.
For Apple, yeah. Apple Music, iTunes, all those.
To get like more integrated in their system and get features and maybe
just be on
like,
their radar and
get people
maybe
excited.
Their commercials, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Anything. Anything and everything.
Your guys' sound is so, like, I was just listening, like, is it bad that I fist pump to myself in the car when I listen to it?
That's encouraging.
It's, I mean,
it's happy music.
Yeah. It is.
It's not like, this is not, I mean, you guys are from Seattle, but this is not like grungy. This is not like flannel t-shirt.
Music changes, Brad.
I mean, you know, I like for everyone to stay in their lane, and you guys are supposed to be angry and depressed, and you're not.
Brad is bummed that My Chemical Romance isn't still as popular as they once were.
I'm heartbroken. I want them and Simple Plan to go back out on tour, damn it.
Well, maybe they will if they're listening.
Okay.
So you Apple invites you, and they go, come and
come and hang and play and schmooze. And eat
drink wine.
And drink. They just feed you all day. Like every act plays, they bring out more food. They give you more wine.
Uh-huh.
And everybody plays a set. And so it's all these bands that are like up and coming, but they always have one fancy person too. And fucking Cindy Lauper. Can I swear on this?
Yes. Yeah. You can say what everyone.
Ship is fun, cocks on bubble tits.
Jesus. What?
I got Brad the seven words on like. I got them loaded.
Can
like
you do
I got
that again.
Ship is funk cocks from motherfucking tits.
Oh my god!
Something George happens, Carlin, right?
Yeah.
Something happens to your face when you do that.
I mean,
it's almost like your face is trying to fight it.
I mean, I smile more. I know that. I get very happy when I say
Lonnie
those words.
Is blown away right now.
All in a section,
like,
but
again.
Yeah, no,
do it again.
I can't do it a third time because if it does a third time, then Beetlejuice shows up, and it's just kind of what happens.
Or the ghost of Carlin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it was the ghost of Carlin, I'd be saying that all day. Day,
but. So Cindy Lauper is the celebrity guest,
she's
which is
celeb guest,
mind blowing, right?
Which,
I mean, where does she rank for you guys in
top one?
Wow,
top five. She to me, like her vocals have always been very inspiring for me to like get real talk because she doesn't have the traditional pop sound. She has this kind of throaty, chesty, belty sound, and the '80s. I mean, our music is so inspired by that time period. So when we saw on just the sheet that she was playing, we freaked the fuck out.
Sure.
That's
going to
be a sign of we've made it, right?
Like it was a sign of, oh my God. I don't know what it was.
To be in the same area as the woman that put Roddy Piper in a music video, I mean, that's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
but we weren't sure if we were going to get to see her at all, interact with her at all.
Right.
She was playing like first. We were playing later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I know that she also has like, have you guys seen her musical?
Kinky Boots.
Kinky Boots. I haven't seen it.
I saw it.
Seattle.
Is it really?
It's coming to the Fifth Avenue Theater. Oh my God. Shout out to the Fifth Avenue Theater.
Yeah.
I saw it when I was in New York. It was fantastic.
Was it?
It was great, and so many drag queens. And I like anytime you could say so many drag queens, I think that's a really great review.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just something that anyone and everyone should experience.
Yeah.
So I want to know how this audience though differs from like. Because you guys just went on a big tour, right?
Yeah.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yep.
Yeah.
How many people were you playing to?
Around like 1,500 probably was like around the average every night.
Yeah. So was that your largest audiences or?
Today, I'd say for the most part.
I mean festivals are different. When
festivals.
Festivals.
Kind of,
But yeah, I'd say the biggest room on that tour was 3K.
Wow.
In New York. And it was sold out. And it felt so good.
Come on. I feel like you're.
It felt so good.
Your style and like your energy like definitely warrants like a big crowd.
Yeah, we only need like 10,000 people. That's like all we need, right?
It's
like small.
That's our sweet spot.
Yeah,
because I mean, do you still like would 50? Like I mean, like it'll get there. Like, do you think that sounds too much? And 10 still feels like you can kind of see people and still kind of connect. Or are you just like you're singing to, performing to everybody?
There's definitely that sweet spot where when you play an arena, it's so like. Disconnected from everybody, and
even playing with Carly's rooms, you know, they have a barricade, so the fans can't be on the stage right there. So there's already a disconnect unless you jump down and go and crowdsurf whatever the fuck you want to do.
I think you had to do that sometimes.
I have yet to crowd surf.
But
terrified I'll be dropped. Ooh, yeah, that's just what happens when it just opens to a hole.
That's a genuine fear.
as someone who's been dropped crowd surfing, not fun. And I don't know what happens. When I was dropped crowd surfing, everyone just kind of stared at each other like, okay, a dwarf just hit the floor. Do we have to throw salt over our shoulder right now or something? Like, what has to happen now that we're in the good graces of the Lord? Everyone was terrified.
What concert were you at?
Pennywise.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then, I crowd surfed. I was dropped. I lost my phone and one shoe that night.
That sounds
So that was
one shoe.
Just one.
The dwarf who lost his shoe at the Pennywise concert.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's a
Cinderella.
Yeah, that's a fairy tale you read to your kids. Sit back and let me tell you about the dwarf who lost his shoe. How did he find it?
He was too old to be at the Pennywise concert, but yet he forged through and brought his friends VIP style.
How dare you? I'm never too old for Pennywise. Bro him till I die. Anyway, that's a sentence that I've never thought I've said before, but okay. Great.
So this iTunes thing, that's a huge deal. And now this crowd is not 1,500 people.
No, this is
like 30 or 50, maybe.
30, 50, and all execs. Whoa. And
sitting down.
Yeah.
I mean, broad daylight. Okay, awkward. Worst.
It's like a wedding venue, you know?
Yeah.
It's
not your...
Not our wheelhouse, so to speak.
And every person there is worth an average of $1 billion.
We were told it's like a car show. I didn't see it, but as the cars roll in, it's like, you know, a Lambo.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous
as
you see? I mean, this is a different venue and just back.
It's like awkward.
More pressure.
It's how do you engage a crowd of suits, so to speak, that are seated?
And your music is so high energy and it's so fun, and it's the kind of stuff where you can't help but jump around. And I'm sure there's plenty of times in your concert where you're like, everybody get up, or clap your hands. Like, you can't do that to a bunch of 65 year olds just sitting there like, we can feature this.
toe tapping. Right.
Marketable.
How do you tell if you're doing well in that audience?
Well, this is how you tell.
Okay.
You look for the one dancing leg of an exec that's trying to hold it in, that wants to stand up, and you're like, they are having a...
You look out into the crowd, and Cyndi Lauper is fucking dancing to our set.
She really does just want to have fun. That's great.
Time after time. She just...
We can keep... is that all the songs?
Kinky
Boots,
man.
True Colors. Damn it. How did I not know True Colors?
Wait. The True Colors that Phil Collins has covered? Or is there a different True Colors?
I don't know if he covered it.
You know Phil Collins' True Colors?
All right.
Could you pull it up for me real quick?
I'm going to have to...
Actually, you know what? Maybe pull up Cyndi... All right, Bradley. Pull up Cyndi Lauper's True Colors, and I'll just tell you if that's the Phil Collins one.
She danced, guys. Yeah. She straight up danced.
When you saw that, did you almost just stop?
I didn't see it.
I lost my shit. I was like, hold your focus, Angle. Hold your fucking focus. don't stop. You got to keep, you know. And we came off stage, and all of a sudden, there's Cyndi Lauper with me in the kitchen. She runs around the corner and tells me how fucking great the show is, and hugs me and talks to me for 15 minutes. Life advice. This woman looks at me and she says, whatever you do, keep going. You're going to go and you're not going to quit, because the people that make it don't quit. Oh, and there she is.
No, keep talking.
Literally said maybe the worst thing that you could ever say. I said, I can't believe I'm talking to you, Cyndi Lauper.
Full name.
And then I said, is this awkward? Was that awkward I just said that? Yeah. She was sweet and gracious. Like, it's okay, kid.
Can you sit down a little bit?
Wow. She's still like a gypsy woman. Like, she's still kind of...
magical.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, she's magic. Guys, she got up in front of these execs at Apple and told them in between songs, listen, you know, I'm having this issue with iCloud, okay?
Well, I mean, if you're going to ask for advice, that's like the world's best genius bar.
Exactly. Go to the source.
Yeah.
She told them they needed to fix their product.
And people kind of laugh, and she's like, no, but seriously, I need you to fix it. It's not...
they thought it was an old Cyndi Lauper tech bit. She's running her tech problems bit again at the old...
One again.
Yeah. She did the same thing when she played Intel. Same thing.
That was the song that Phil Collins...
Oh, really?
So I guess he covered. I mean, that's an unbelievable song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
She's incredible.
She's incredible.
So now you've met a hero. Is that...
It's with me still. She's with me.
And she said she was a fan. She said you guys were dope.
She said you were. She said we were great.
What the fuck?
Twice, actually. And she danced. So it was funny watching the Apple people and Warner Brothers, like people from the label, be so excited about her reaction to this set. Because who the fuck is Cyndi Lauper dancing to their music?
Yeah. Like she's seen it all and she's done it.
Yeah,
and that's not a thing where it's like that's a venue in that scenario where that it's not the fashionable thing,
right?
Exactly,
because
no one else is doing it. But so the fact that she's like, fuck it, I don't care about you guys, I'm going.
Pink hair and all.
That and she's still got the different color hair.
So good.
Yeah,
she sang and she sounded.
Oh, she sang the anthem at like an NFL game. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and just belted it out and. You could tell the entire stadium had this whole look on their face like, huh? this is still a thing? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like when Brad did a show in NorCal, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago, and Robin Williams went up to him and told him, was there hanging out, and told him he was Prozac with a head and how great he was. So I can only imagine.
Yeah. Wow. Greatest compliment I've ever had in my career.
So, Brad, what happened after you met a hero and he told you you were great? Like, what did you...
I didn't know how to... Like, he was like, oh my... Because I remember, I didn't know he was in the audience, and he came up to me after a show at this little theater up in Mill Valley called the Throckmorton Theater, and he just came up, and the first words out of his mouth were, oh my god, Mr. Williams, you're like Prozac with a head, and I'm just like, and like, I think the thing I said was, and you're great too. Yeah. Like, you've done some stuff, right? Okay, good.
Like, it's like a blackout moment.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I know it's so weird how celebrity is, because there's so many people that I've met that some people would freak the fuck out if they met, and not that they don't mean anything to me, but they're not that person. They're not that person that makes you nervous, that makes you trip out. But some people, man, some people you meet them, and you're like, my brain does not function right now.
I mean, Robin Williams.
Yeah,
the best.
Yeah.
What? So I mean, so you guys, when did you guys? I mean, let's get like some backstory here. First of all, Lonnie and I know each other since, I mean.
Since birth.
Since birth? You guys are related?
Significantly younger.
Oh, okay.
Although I had better skin. No.
All that time in the sun.
No,
since elementary school.
Lonnie's brother, Dwight, who, now that I think about it, like, I kind of want to have on the podcast as well.
He'd be good.
Because I've had there's just certain, like, Brad, you know, we have a lot of actors, musicians, comedians, like people who are, you know, very, like doing awesome shit.
Yeah. And Melissa McCarthy, heard of her.
I mean, pretty cool.
Really cool.
And so, but every now and then I'll meet somebody and I bring him to Brad. I go, Brad, like, we just had this guy on who started this weed hash oil pen company that's about to like become this $1 billion industry. And I met him and he told me when we met at a coffee shop, these like ayahuasca trip stories that he had. He was just a fascinating person. So I go, we got to have him on.
Yeah.
And
talk to him.
And as I was, when we were lining this up, I was like, I was texting with Dwight and I was like, I want the world to know who Dwight Engel is. And I don't know how
me
to,
too.
Like, right? And
a lot of thoughts.
Growing up.
World.
So Dwight and I met, I guess it was first grade.
I think so.
Have just been best chums for the longest time. Obviously, you know, you move away, and you like lose touch. But every time I meet him, and the same goes for you, like once. But so you're how many years younger than I am?
You know, a lot.
Okay.
Sweet Jesus. She's like, I still have a future, Adam.
You're over the hill.
Past 30? Oh, my God. Never going to happen to me.
We all grew up in Lake Forest Park, Washington.
Yeah.
Bluff Peak. Shout out. Do you rep it?
Hard.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Yeah.
No, you say shoreline when people.
LF Peak. People don't know where LF Peak is.
No, she got to say shoreline or like areas adjacent.
Context.
I say Mount Lake Terrace sometimes.
Do you?
Like, okay, cool.
People know Mount Lake Terrace and not LF Peak?
I know.
That's fucked up.
Well, we're going to put them on the map. were you, I didn't even know you were, well, I guess we did the musical. We did one before I graduated, right? Or two.
We did.
One.
Two.
Which ones?
We did Once on This Island.
Right. We did Once on This Island,
high
by the
school.
Way.
We just fast forwarded.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about elementary school.
Okay. Oh, well, I don't think we did any shows together back in elementary school.
No, but when did you start to sing? When did you get the performing bug?
Always? 7 years old.
Really?
Yeah, I started playing piano at 5.
She like on her own accord picked up a Yellow Pages and called like a talent agent when she was 4 years old and was like, I'd like to be represented, please. And they're like, is your mom there? She's like, nope.
What?
Yeah. My mom gets this phone call like, Miss Angle, we think your daughter just called and she said that she wants to be a star or whatever the fuck I said.
What the?
You're like, does your mom know? And you're like, well, no, because then she'll want to cut. And I'm trying to keep this exclusive to me. Right. There's a lot of red vines I'm looking to purchase.
The balls. Holy shit.
So it was I got bitten by the bug young.
Yeah.
But so did you.
Yeah.
But right? What,
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I just, well, you know, I was a big kid. And what do you remember about Fat Adam?
Fat Adam.
Nicest guy I know.
I love that. God,
nicest guy I know.
Most fat guys are.
You were just so nice. You're like one of Dwight's nice friends.
Yeah.
You weren't like picking on me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Jolly, well, I think is probably.
Jolly, yeah. And that's why I started to like.
And you inspired us to both be bar and bat mitzvah. Let's talk about Shalom.
Oh my God.
Shalom.
That's right.
Fellow Jews here.
Fellow Jews here.
And Dwight wanted nothing to do with bar mitzvah until Adam Ray was getting bar mitzvah. And then suddenly Dwight's like, wait, Adam gets a party and gifts?
You guys have a party at the Select Grill. And for those of you who don't know what the Select Grill is, it's like one section of Buca di Beppo. It's like a tiny ass room with a cool dance floor and a cool enough, it's schwanky enough that kids can feel like they're at a nightclub.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
You had, I'll not forget your bar mitzvah, you had the cool cartoonist.
The caricaturist.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like we still have ours.
Well, it's funny because you hear about like these celebrity kids or like rich kids that have like Kanye West at their bar mitzvah. Oh, no. And Adam's like,
we had Tom, excuse me, caricature artist. We had Tom Wilson drawing you on a spaceship holding a badminton racket.
Boom. Mic dropped.
Yeah, that was fun. You went to that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great party.
How did, yeah, there was a, and then you guys, Adina's Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full on.
But so then you guys just jumped in.
Yeah, Dwight jumped in, then I was like, well, if he's doing it, I want to do it.
Yeah.
So then I started going to synagogue, too, because our parents were like,
but wasn't he like, he hadn't been going to Sunday school, so he was way behind.
Way behind. So he had, it was like, yeah, baptism by fire. But wrong. Wrong.
So then, so you're playing piano. I think I do remember that.
Yeah.
And that was, that starts like the musical, but I didn't even, I mean, the singing thing, I guess I knew like in the musical, but like.
I didn't know I wanted to be a singer.
Okay.
I had no fucking idea. I didn't want to be a singer.
What did you want to do?
I wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. You went to UW.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I studied theater.
Yep.
Directing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I moved into that world, worked at a theater, worked administratively, raised money, worked with board of directors.
Fifth Ave, right?
Yeah. Which is why, shout out for them.
Shit, that's baller. If you don't know, by the way, the Fifth Ave is one of the best theaters in the world. And I mean, definitely, I'd say probably the best in Seattle.
Largest regional theater in the country. Largest musical regional theater in the country. Yeah. Really. They put on amazing.
What shows were you a part of and helped bring to the surface?
Bring to the surface. Memphis was a big one that started when I was there that went on to win the Tony.
Wow.
Kenny Alhadif, producer. He's like a big, big donor at the Fifth. So there was so much cool stuff that was happening while I was there.
And what did you gain from that world or not gain that made you go, all right, performing is something I need to jump back into?
Yeah, I just missed it too much.
Yeah.
It was like the art. I missed making art. I was just busy in an office all the time.
But then you're around it and you're watching all these people, so it's like you're jealous. Right next to the stage, and so you can almost taste it, but you're not.
But you can't.
But you can't.
You can't taste it.
They're just dangling.
You gotta fly to New York. You gotta move to New York.
And that's what you did.
Yeah, we moved to New York. We started developing
a musical. You're from Seattle, too.
Yeah, I'm from Bellevue.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he's from Bellevue.
So when did...
Well, now you're speaking my language, because that's the only, like, city I know, like,
suburb of Seattle. Live comedy club is...
Well, yeah, Microsoft money area. I mean, you are wearing a gold-colored watch right now, just throwing that out there.
It's not real gold.
It's not a...
Theater of the mind. You could have faked it.
Way to make our guests feel comfortable.
I'm from South Bellevue, which is a little.
Tom says he's from the poor part of Bellevue. Does that exist?
Is there?
I don't know.
It's like
their Quiznos doesn't have a Pizza Hut in it. What does that
mean? Right by like Factoria and like.
Oh, okay.
Factoria Malls. So
yeah.
It's like a little. It's not. I'm not near the Bellevue Square. I'm near the Factoria.
Okay. How was it like growing up in Bellevue?
It was cool. It was good. Yeah, I liked it. I mean, my high school I went to is actually the most diverse in the state. So it was like, I was just reading an article actually about it. It's like 47 languages are spoken there by the students.
Or what?
So, it wasn't just like all rich white kids.
Yeah,
which is
okay.
Good, you know, so.
And then good music program?
I just played in like bands with my friends. I didn't take any of the classes or anything at school.
Because you just didn't trust the teachers that were throwing.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's, you don't have the guitar over here. You have it here on this knee, and it's like the.
What are you playing, like?
You're playing like
flamenco,
like, you know what I mean? Like you're playing classical guitar and learning like whatever.
And you're
learning
like,
stupid songs. Yeah, I wanted to learn like Blink 182 and like.
There you go.
No effects.
I want to learn songs that have maximum of three chords.
Yeah, exactly.
Maximum.
What were some of your band names?
My very first band name was Marilyn Hanson.
I mean, that's incredible. Oh, my God.
So you do like a death metal version of Mbop?
Yeah, it was like a, yeah, I don't know. It was actually came together for like a school project where you could perform, or like you had to reenact a chapter from this book any way you wanted. Yeah. So we like wrote a song to do it. And so the band was called Marilyn Hanson. Then after that, my band was called Jack Squat. Which was a homage to Chris Farley's motivational speaker.
Sure.
Two great band names, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Squat.
You're two for two. Because I joke about this, how I want to be in a band just so I can name it something crazy. Because if you're good, I feel like people don't care what you're called.
Doesn't
you
matter.
You could have been me three. Yeah. The Beatles could have been the Beaners. Yeah. Like, whatever. But, and like, we had friends in bands growing up, and I remember, like
Scam.
Scam was the first band. Do you know
Kirk
who it is?
Thomas knows those guys.
I know Kirk. And she was cleaning out like old stuff like from her mom's house, and
Scam.
And the Scam CD came up.
Kirk's been on the podcast.
Like,
we talked
about
it.
Oh my God.
That was Kirk and, it was seventh grade, I think.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
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 I thought that was when Jacob Hoffman and, remember Jacob Hoffman?
No.
Okay.
Sorry,
Scam was Gabe Coyne. Shout out to Gabe, four kids, lost his hair. I love you, Gabe. Graham Hitchcock.
Lost his hair?
Yeah.
Wow.
Scam was I love Kirk, but that's a horrible ska band name because you don't end up saying the word ska in it. You say scam. You don't get the...
Should it have just been called ska?
Was there a dash
it's a K.
there?
No. It's S-K-A-M. No.
S-K-A-M. Mm.
Oh, okay.
But you don't, unless you see it, you don't get that it's a ska reference.
I remember going to their shows and being like, this is, because it was my first taste of like knowing a rock star, quote unquote. I was like, and people were like mosh pitting, or not mosh pitting. Were they just violently run into each other? What's that called?
I don't know what ska dancing is.
Right. Lack of medication.
Skanking.
What do you
it's
call
called
that?
Skanking.
Skanking? Oh, yeah, they were skanking.
It's called skanking?
I remember I got that's involved in one dancing. And a guy, and I was staying in the middle, and I was like trying to watch my buddy do his thing, and then people just started running into me, and I'm like, the fuck is going on right now?
Like, we're skanking, bro.
And my buddy was like, "You got like that's what they do. You got to get into it." And I was, you know, big dude, and so I remember some guy ran to me, and I just looked over and just dropped the forearm and dropped him. And then he's like, "Dude, what are you doing? Like, that's not fun." I was like, "You started it, motherfucker," and I was trying to watch. So clearly, you were just getting in my way.
You can't just be thrown into the skanking level and expect to be a damn black belt. Like, you can't just like, oh no, you have to know the levels. No, it's, you were just introduced to that. No.
Your fans don't do that, do they?
Well, no. We had one concert where there was a mosh pit that broke out, and it was fucking insane because we are a pop act.
Yeah,
right.
We were in Leeds. England. So Reading and Leeds Festival we played last summer.
Oh my God.
And Reading, they were like, these kids.
And Reading and Leeds is traditionally like a rock festival.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's the, you know, now that times are changing, they have more pop stuff on it, but still, that's kind of like the bones of the festival.
Right. Were they soccer hooligans or something?
I mean, they're just kids that part. They come on Wednesday and they start partying Wednesday. They camp and the festival starts Friday.
British teenagers to me seem like the scariest kids on the planet. Can I just say that on record? They smoke cool. They've got their collars flipped. The accent is very train spotting.
Yeah.
So they're there.
So Friday, noon. Huge dance tent. We're thinking, is anyone going to show up? Fucking full. And in the middle of like our third song, all of a sudden, the crowd separates. And I'm looking, thinking, did someone faint? Did someone fall over?
Right. Like, fart? What happened? This is a powerful.
And the chorus hits, and the, like you described, they rushed each other. Massive mosh pit.
Braveheart style.
Oh my God, that's unbelievable.
We looked at each other, and I almost started laughing because it was like, what the fuck are you doing?
There's a guy in a red Power Ranger onesie like that does the full head thing.
Okay.
Crowd surfing by. We're like, what is that?
You're like, I just saw a Power Ranger go by. Like,
is my NyQuil worn off yet?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was one of the only times that we'll probably ever have people mosh.
I mean,
at a Cardi
did you guys like pull a Dave Grohl? Because I remember like one time mosh pit broke out at a Foo Fighters concert, and there was like one guy that was like actually like beating people up, and Dave Grohl like stopped the entire concert and like pointed him out.
That's
and like,
awesome,
you
when they do that.
You're an asshole, guys, throw that guy out. Which has got to be like, I mean, for that dude, it's got to be awesome and shitty at the same time. It's like, Dave Grohl's talking to me. Okay, I'm in handcuffs. I'm fine. But like, yeah, was there any thoughts of like, we have to stop this? Or you guys were just like, no, let's enjoy the party.
Like, this is amazing.
Good. That's so cool.
This is amazing.
So Bellevue, okay, so then music, no, this is good. This is how we do it, though. Okay, we go over and then we come back. Where does the music bug hit you in Bellevue?
So my younger brother, who's like a year and a half younger than me, he got a guitar for his like 11th or 12th birthday.
Yeah.
And my dad's always played guitar just kind of casually.
It's great when it's around you. Like,
yeah. He's a huge music lover. So we just grew up loving music. And then my brother got a guitar. We both started learning. And then like, you know, 6 months later, I was writing my first stupid horrible song. Yeah.
Is that how it is when you, for people who are, great musicians like you guys, you just like, once you find, so you just kind of like lock, like for singing, like, I mean, once you start really getting into it, you're just like, I'm hooked. I want to sing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. You just want to get better and better and better because it's never good enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like comedy. I mean,
that's why we go on stage every night.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that joke crushed. It could probably be better. Let me try it again tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Or it bombed. It's just bad.
and also just seeing, like, going to like a MXPX concert and something like that, like seeing them up there
being inspired.
Like, oh my God, I want
to
be them.
Going
so
to a scam
bad.
Concert.
So cool.
Right. Said nobody ever.
And then did you guys meet in high school?
No.
We met after college. Actually. We both went to UW, but we met after college through...
Thomas had another band that lived quite a long life, which was Forgive Durden, another great name. Do you know that reference?
Tyler Durden?
There you go.
Yeah. Fight Club reference.
Yeah.
Good job.
So, yeah. Good job. I didn't know that.
Love that name.
And so he was out touring for years. He actually said to his folks when he was in college, if I can get signed to a label... Can I drop out of school?
I'm Audi 5000.
And they said, sure. And he got signed and then he left. So he was on the road. Yeah. Pretty rock star. Pretty cool. Right?
Dude, nice.
Yeah. Kanye.
You were the secret before the secret. if this happens, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Because I believe in it. Why are you talking like that? You're 17. So then you made it happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, okay. So, and then the band, so guitar has always been your main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's lead singer.
Yeah.
I was
a
singer in that band.
And was Forgive Durden, was that more of like a punk band or was that?
Yeah. It was like a emo punk.
Well, kinda... I mean, cause you have a lot of issues at that time.
Yeah.
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 That was angsty.
Yeah. What were you singing about? That? Cause I mean, you know, I.
Growing up in Bellevue was so hard.
Victoria. Molly's closed again. It's only 10, and the holidays, you should be open. So what did you,
I mean.
Is that original?
That was incredible.
Is that original?
I mean,
that was fucking great.
iTunes tomorrow. It's Victoria. Sing about
that,
what you know.
Is that like an accurate representation?
Yeah,
of,
that's good.
Of
I can just picture like when the credits of this podcast roll, like it's the fully produced version of that song that we've gone. And, like,
dude, I mean, don't joke, man. I'm that fickle about shit if I like, yeah. So, okay. So yeah, what are you singing about at that age?
You know, I was really singing. So I had been at UW.
Yeah.
And I was working at Nordstrom.
Nice.
In like the stock, one of the stock rooms.
Yeah.
And so I would take the bus down there and at UW I was in a fraternity and I was around a lot of people that are going to like business programs and stuff like that. And I don't know, I was having a hard time being around people that were, cared so much about money.
Yeah.
And that was what they were so after. And I was just like, that's not what I cared about at all. And so I wrote a lot about that kind of you know, the juxtaposition of me being around those people and wanting to get out and do my own thing and play music. And girls, too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's always about that.
I don't want money, but could you sleep with me anyway?
There's never enough chicks at Victoria Mall.
Victoria sings really well.
It does. It's got a nice flow to it. Yeah. And so then the road life, what is that like? How old are you?
I'm 30.
No, at that point 31. When you hit the road.
Oh, I'm like 20.
We get it, dude. You're younger than us. You got great skin, too. What?
So I'm like 20, 19 or 20, I guess.
That's crazy, right? Yeah. I mean, like, that's just, hey, welcome to the world, kid who's not 20
I mean,
yet.
At that point, it's me and like my three best friends, and we're in a van with a trailer, and we're...
You're so pumped, though, because you're living your dream.
We're sleeping on floors and sleeping in the van. And
that is true.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be like on stage, or we'd put a little sign out at our merch table that says like looking for a place to stay. You know, people coming to buy our CD, we're like, hey, like, can we stay like at your place? And they're like, sure. And most of the time, it's amazing. And it's like you go to some kid's mom's house, and it's like his mom cooks us pancakes in the morning, and like they like we get to do our laundry, and like they have extra bed, all this crazy stuff. Sometimes you get like a really weird situation where it's like you're in like a hoarder's house,
like,
and
your
it's
chick
like
has a seizure, and you have to take her to the hospital.
What?
That was a thing.
It feels like a podcast story. Yeah. It does feel like a podcast story.
Yes, please.
Well, we are on one, so fire away.
You make out with a chick. Like, you have, like, a fun night. Yeah. Thomas, take it away.
So there's one of these things where you're staying where you can stay, right?
Yeah.
When you get to a city, it's like everybody put your feelers out, like who knows who. Yeah. By the way, pretty cool you came up in the day and age of like phones and technology,
because
it's like we just had the Goo Goo Dolls on, right? And they talked about the same shit where like crashing on floors, which made it very, I was like, fuck it. I guess everybody does go through the just grind till you make it. And, but they didn't have, like in the late 80s, like, you know, that shit to be able to text like, hey, do you guys have room on your floor? We're going to be in Des Moines in two days.
Right.
So you guys had that, but still.
I remember, I think I had a sidekick. Remember the little flip? I had a sidekick, but everybody else just had like the normal flip phone. So I could connect to like MySpace and like check our MySpace messages and that kind of thing. But like nobody else could. So like, it wasn't like that we were all like, texting and stuff, because we didn't know, you know, it was like, anyway, so, yeah, so this was maybe a few years later, once we've kind of made the rounds a few times and have friends in places, and it was a girl that, like, in the Chicago area that I had...
She who cannot be named.
...met a few times, and...
We'll call her Marilyn Hanson.
Yeah.
Marilyn. For the sake of your story.
And so I go to her house after the show. She comes to the show, go to her place after, but she still lives with, like, her dad.
Yep.
And we're just like hanging out watching a movie. Her dad goes to sleep. I like stay the night. Yada yada yada.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And in the morning, pancakes. Her dad doesn't know I stayed the night, and he goes to work, and it's just us there in the morning. So we're kind of like hanging out, whatever.
Yeah.
Getting breakfast, and all of a sudden she has a seizure. And like she's like in the hallway, and so she's kind of like trying to, like, her body wants to be as straight as possible, but she's like wedged in the hallway, like her knees and her neck's like wedged up against the wall. And so like I don't know what to do, but I have to like judo chop like the back of her leg to get it to like, so I can turn her, because she's like so wedged
in
the hallway.
So when your body just freezes up, is that what
it was
happens?
Yeah, like rigor mortis, like just full straight, and she was like, I was like, she's gonna break her neck, so I had to like chop the back of her leg and like turn her.
Did you
so
say
she...
judo chop when you did it?
Exactly.
Was the dad sitting back smoking a cigarette?
No,
like,
so he's
gone.
He's at work. He's at work.
He's
gone.
I'm
trying to get there.
Follow the fucking dude. How many seizure stories have you heard?
A lot. Let's be honest.
They're just bleeding together at this point.
Yeah, side effect dwarfism.
And so I have no idea if this is like she has this condition or it's just whatever. So I call 911. I give them the address. They come. I don't know how to get in touch
with
her.
By the way, I love that you go judo chop, then call 911. Like, my first instinct would be like, get 911 over here, and while they're on the way, I'll start judo chopping my way through this, see if I can speed up the process.
Yeah, so they come. I'm like not allowed to ride with the ambulance because I'm not like a family member, whatever.
Right.
So I have to drive her car, because I'm not with the rest of the band, so she had like driven me down to her place. So I drive her car. I follow the ambulance, get to the hospital. I'm so flustered when I get there. I lock her keys in the car.
Oh, no.
Sorry, you just had a seizure. Here's a coat hanger. You might need this.
Is that a Hallmark card? All right, keep going.
Should be.
Multi-use there. Then her dad shows up because he's like the emergency contact or whatever, and he's like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, who's this guy?
Yeah, and I was like... I'm just like, hey.
She hasn't had a seizure in 15 years. Yeah. What did you do?
No, so she had never had a seizure before. So it was like a random thing. And she ended up being okay and everything. But
good old Marilyn.
Yeah. What did old Marilyn Hanson.
How do you just have a seizure and be.
I don't know.
Are we
all
capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, sleep tight, kids.
So he was actually, I mean, he was like pissed and kind of like, what the fuck? But he wasn't like. He didn't like ream me out or anything.
No,
he was,
I mean, you
like,
did the right.
He was kind of like, thanks for calling and thanks
for
getting
you didn't just,
we were there.
Yeah, you didn't just see her having a seizure and be like, well,
I'm out of here.
Peace. Good luck with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting morning.
It's like tour life, you know?
Yeah.
Have you, but now you, I mean, okay, so then you guys meet at UW.
Yeah. Well, after UW.
After UW.
Friend introduces us.
So my band had, for our second album, had made this, I was really into musicals. And so we made an album that.
So is Adam.
Yeah.
So is Adam.
We made like a rock album that like kind of sounded like a musical. Like there was no guitars. It had like rock drums, but it was all orchestrated strings.
Love
and
that.
I brought all these different singers from other bands.
Okay.
Actually, the drummer from Gatsby's, Kirk's band, was a drummer on
nice.
The record, Rudy. And So we did that. We released it. We toured on it and everything. But then I really wanted to like go the next step with it and actually make it a staged musical, which I had no idea how to do.
Yeah.
And so I knew Lonnie was in musical theater. I'd met her previously. And so we sort of got put back in touch and started working on it. And then like a year later, basically, is when we moved to New York to really
develop it with the public theater. So we were approached by a theater and a commercial producer, actually one of the Nederlanders, which is a big name. And we started developing it for a couple of years. That's what brought us to New York.
It takes, people don't realize the time it takes. Well, to develop anything. I mean, movies take years, shows take,
musicals
musicals,
what the hell?
Way too long.
Really?
I mean, Book of Mormon. Even you think
was
they
that
had like
6 or 8 years in the making or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have every you know, they have every door open for them already. Like, imagine how long it takes if you can't even get your foot in the door.
Break it down for people who maybe don't. I mean, what are some of the just the steps you have to, like, once you move there and you start, because once you start going, well, we're gonna go all in. We need to be in the place where it's gonna hopefully live.
It was a lot of rewriting because Thomas had already released this concept album. The music existed, but there was no book. So I was writing the book. So we were trying to weave a story that was actually cohesive together that could live with the music. But then we realized a lot of the music needed to be rewritten. So he was rewriting with his brother, and it was just endless. Rewrites.
And the thing that's tricky, and maybe this is similar in comedy, but it's not really in music, is that when you write it out and it seems all great on paper and everything, like when you go and put it in front of people, it's like,
completely different.
Whoa, that's not at all.
That's why we go up every night.
Yeah.
It's like you can, and I tell young comics all the time, they're like, I can't tell you the amount of times I'm approached by somebody that's just like, I want to do stand-up. I've got like an hour's of material, but that's great, man. And I'm just like, I mean, there's no like school for or training or to get better other than just going up and trying. I was like, you get all that could be great, or 2 minutes could be great, but you're never going to know unless you just like, you have to put it
out
in front of people.
Right. And audience has to see it.
Totally. But at least with comedy, you can just go by yourself. With a musical theater, you have to get a whole cast together, a director, a set designer, music.
So even those times that you're presenting and trying to get the feedback, that takes time.
Yeah. So it's hard to get all those pieces together in order to really see it the way that you're envisioning it and everything.
And what constitutes for you to recognize a rewrite? Like if you see it in front of an audience, like a certain amount of reaction, you wanted more reaction, or?
I mean, you see it yourself instantly.
Okay.
Even if you've like read it, we were reading the lines back and forth to each other a million times, but then as soon as somebody's on stage doing it, you're just like, oh my God, that's like, it all becomes clear. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that doesn't work at all. And you see like, oh, the audience didn't laugh at that, or they seem like, I can hear like, papers rustling right now. They're getting bored during this part, or whatever.
Then there's got to be arguments between creatives where it's like, yeah, but maybe he delivered it wrong, and it is a good line, right?
Right. It's all, it's really about the thing that's tricky with musicals is that a song really has to advance the story along. Mm-hmm. It can't just be like this.
Can't just put it in there for the sake of being a song.
Yeah, like an amazing song you put in there, but if it doesn't like do anything, people get bored because they're watching like a storyline. They're not like, watching a music video or something, you know?
I'm just amazed that you guys are here and working on that the whole time, not like you didn't form with like, we're going to be a band. Like this was, you guys formed to
make
this musical.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then,
and then we were just like, oh my God, kill me now. We've worked on this for too fucking long. I mean, we'd probably put 2 years in at that point.
Yeah. How are you supplementing income while you're just odd jobs?
We said,
both had part-time jobs.
Yeah, we both, Thomas did graphic design. I was doing copywriting. So we just freelanced while we were there and worked our asses off on this musical and did a big reading, a staged reading, got all these Broadway performers to sing the parts, put it up, sold out 2 nights. All these crazy Forgive Durden fans came. Not crazy, like cool people that are really into it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And it was clear. It was like, okay, we need a break. So we was like, why don't we write some pop songs? See what happens. Put some pop songs up online. And that's when basically the band was formed.
Holy shit. Wait, just out of...
Just... While
we were doing the musical, we'd like messed around a little bit. Just like...
Yeah.
Like writing a little acoustic song here or there or whatever.
Thomas has produced other bands. So when we were in Seattle, actually, before we'd moved, he'd be like, come into the studio.
Which was
like,
up in Shoreline, actually.
At Robert Lang?
No, it was like my friend Casey's studio in his house. But it was right on...
Nice.
It was right on... What's that street? It was right
by Guitarville.
Guitarville.
Oh, yeah.
That was?
On, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
Ballinger, right there.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Ballinger.
A lot of old LFP house parties back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ballinger, it's... yeah,
it's like 220th or...
Guitarville.
Guitarville. Yeah. It's gone
now. It's not there anymore.
What?
Yeah. It's gone now. Sad.
Boy, Seattle's here.
Things change.
Things change. What a bummer. What's the new guitar place in Seattle? Guitar Center?
Yeah, probably. No, there's a few cool.
Which we love in case they want to sponsor this podcast. They'd be like, two for one on drumsticks. Just use the code ALN.
Go to KFC for your drumsticks. Guitarville was one of those authentic music places where you had guys that were like roadies for like Sticks.
Yeah,
or
old ass dude.
Yeah,
like,
they were just like,
your amp and stuff.
You're like, I'm looking for picks. He's like, I mean, we got these picks right up front, but like, what do your fingers look like? Come on to the back. I'll show you the real picks. And you're like, dude, Guitar Center ain't offering that sort of service.
Yeah, yeah.
They knew music. What
it's
a bummer.
It's like they're almost like kind of dicks, but in a good way.
Yeah, their music. Yeah, but they just, they love it so much that they're like, they want you to walk out satisfied.
Yeah.
All right. So
anyway,
then,
so we like messed around in there a little bit because I was working out of the studio and like, I got to see the studio.
What was that moment like when you first kind of started, like when you jammed on something and did you kind of like share a look of like, oh snap. Like that was dope.
We did this. We did,
Please say you said, oh snap.
Look, I have a certain way of speaking. It's not going to change until I'm 92 and doped up.
I just like picture this like sitcom moment where you like hit a key and she doesn't know it. You just like both look at each other. Oh snap. That could be our band name.
Which, by the way, even if I am 92 and doped up and somebody like, you know, finds out there is more applesauce, I will still go, oh, snap. So I don't want to speak too soon.
Yeah.
So
I had released these like Christmas covers, or holiday covers around Christmas time every year.
Lonnie, how did that make you feel?
You know, I felt left out.
Where is O Hanukkah? Where is a Purim?
Well, she quickly accepted my invitation to sing on a Christmas song.
Yeah.
So we did.
They have better
melodies. There's more. Okay.
shout out to the Christians.
Fuck off.
So we recorded a Christmas song. We did Christmas Baby Please Come Home. We had like done a few like little whatever songs before that, but it was that song where I was like, oh snap, like there's something here. There's something here, like with Lonnie's voice and like it was a bigger production on the song and everything. I was like, there's something here, kind of. I mean, we're still like on the musical, but in the back of my mind, I was like, there's something there.
Awesome.
And so, when we were ready to kind of change gears back in New York, we wanted to make like kind of, you know, obviously 80s synth sort of pop music and, yeah, that was kind of the first.
Why was that always the idea for the?
That was just kind of the music that we liked listening to.
Because you're coming from a world of like punk, like sort of heart, like sort of harder music. So and then when you start making the pop music, is there any kind of backlash from your fans of old bands?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some kind of come along for the ride. Other ones are like, why don't you release another album like that last one?
I can't cry to this music. Yeah. It's too happy. What's wrong with you?
That's exactly. A real thing, though, right? I mean,
and
you kind of do want to give some
credit to the people that have been with you. Yeah,
I mean, I honestly can't imagine how people like U2 and Rolling Stones have been able to stay so consistent with their sound. Brand and their sound for so long, because it's like your tastes change and you know, I just can't imagine that they're still so inspired to make that music. You know, I mean, it's a job for them, obviously, but for them to find, if they do find inspiration, like real inspiration to make those sounds, it's blows my mind, because I'm into a new thing like every 6 months. I want to make a rap record next or something, you know. Who knows?
So that is what we are doing.
All right.
No.
That'll work. And I mean, that's why you have things like Keith Richards released like a blues album two years ago, just because it's like
he needs to get it off his chest. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to do that. All right, now I'll go back to the Stones and like make money.
Yeah.
But I need to get this out. Yeah. So I guess it's up to the band then at that point not to get like jealous or mad or anything like
let
that.
Let him do his side project.
So I mean, will you let him do his
rap project?
Hip hopera.
It is a joke a lot. That'd be good.
Do it.
We do joke a lot, like when we're writing together, and it's like some idea that, you know, you come up with that you think is really great, but somebody's like, it's too like convoluted. It's like, you're being too clever.
Save it for the side project.
Yeah, we say save it for the side project. Mm-hmm.
You
know?
There you go. Did you guys write On My Way Together?
Yeah.
That music video, by the way, maybe one of the coolest music videos
of
all time.
Yeah.
Very good.
I like that you guys put effort into your music video. You don't see that, like, you know, you'll see it from a Beyonce or someone who can afford a music video now.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see a band like coming up still put a lot of effort into their video, because that's still a way for people to discover you. And
it's just an extension of the music too. It's it can't just be just the music. It's bigger than that. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can express.
When you make a good video, it like elevates elevates the song totally. More. And when you make a bad video, it almost it takes away. You like the song less a little bit.
Yes,
like, I don't even like the song anymore. That video is horrible.
That's so true. I felt that way about Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. I go, I used to be on board, but this is so slow and so black and white.
Yeah,
and I don't feel like you even care about the song while you're singing it in this video.
Right, but then you see a video like Barbie Girl, and you're like, fuck yeah,
I'm like, wow. Aqua Till I Die is tattooed on my lower back. So
that's right.
We've met the guy that wrote that song.
What?
Yeah.
Does he love his life or hate his life? Like, I really have to know this.
Everybody
ask his
the party
hot tub
was like,
collection.
That dude wrote.
The song it's popular now called 7 Years by this guy Lucas Graham.
Well, can I be honest? I listen to that song.
He's like part of that.
Oh,
he's like part of that camp.
He Lucas Graham was signed by R&R. She's Kate Craig is the best fucking A&R in the world.
You guys are at WB, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Warner Brothers.
WB.
That's fucking. By the way.
Yeah.
I mean,
guys,
that's unbelievable.
Thank you. Thank you. It's pretty rad. They're really good people.
So wait, so you know, because I've been listening. I just got on this Luke Graham guy, like I don't know, 2 weeks ago.
And his voice is killer.
Unbelievable. Am I?
I like you already calling him Luke instead.
I know.
Lucas.
He's like in a brief, little
brief. Me and Luke, we chill.
The amount of morning plays that song gets.
Yeah.
Is it? Am I wrong to love?
Oh, he's incredible.
Okay.
He's incredible. Yeah.
I don't know if I was just jumping on a popular bandwagon.
His vocals, I mean, live, You See Me sounds just like the record.
He's ridiculous.
Fucking killer.
And that's so important nowadays because of how much stuff goes into like the aftermarket, like, I don't know how to say this, adjusting your voice, but like, and then you see someone live, you're like, that, what? No,
right.
That's
totally different
nothing.
Thing.
Right. It's nothing like the song.
Right.
So it's nice to see really talented vocalists still like do it live and still sing where it's not just like a lip synced auto-tuned.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as the music video. It like elevates the overall
absolutely
song.
So I've heard of the concept for the video. And if you haven't seen it, by the way, I guess just YouTube. Cardi Rocks on my way.
Yeah.
And prepare to have your mind blown.
Dance it out with me.
We really wanted to make a video that was a single take. We'd love those kind of videos
shots.
and
sure,
even
I mean,
scenes in movies that are like a nice, you know, 5-10 minute long shot.
Pretty sure we all remember where we were when we saw Eagle Eye Cherry's Save Tonight, one of the greatest one cut music videos of all time.
Is it really?
Damn right it is.
I need to see it.
Well, looking at you like,
I'm like,
who's
shit.
That? what are the Goonies? I'm 12.
Literally.
Don't
she hasn't
go
seen
there.
The Goonies.
I haven't seen the Goonies. Don't.
She,
I know.
She hasn't
Cindy
seen...
Lauper had a song on the soundtrack.
She hasn't seen.
What's wrong with you?
She did
really?
You
which
call
one?
Yourself a fan.
Wait, which one?
I don't know, but that's one that had all the wrestlers in the music video.
Can we pull up Goonies so, Cindy Lauper?
She hasn't seen Jurassic
Thank
Park.
You.
She hasn't seen Indiana Jones.
There's a lot of pop culture that I missed as a child.
What?
Because I was making up plays and dancing around.
Yeah, but you got to have it. You got to be influenced. What were you influenced by? What were you watching and listening to as a kid?
We didn't have TV at the house.
That's right.
We had channels 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. That was it.
This is the Cyndi Lauper Goonies soundtrack song. Or a police radio.
Goonies.
One
man.
Or the other.
Josh Brolin, Sean Astin.
You were listening. I mean, what kind of music? I mean, I guess
I was listening to classic rock because my dad was playing classic rock. Because
I missed the grunge Seattle era too. Like I was in when people were like, "You must have loved Eddie Vedder and Soundgarden." I was like, "Dude, unless they covered Hakuna Matata from the Lion King soundtrack, I don't know who the fuck they were." Because I just was like Oasis and
I would love to hear
Champagne
that.
Champagne Supernova is that Oasis?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oasis and. I guess, who else was really big at that time in 1995?
Were you listening to musical theater a lot?
I mean, I loved, like, soundtrack. Like, listened to, like, the Jurassic Park soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, I was just a big musical and musical stuff, yeah.
I know that soundtrack, even if I don't know the movie. I know the tunes.
So, I mean, who was, like, because what would you, like, is it electronic, EDM, like, pop? What
would you say, like, I say synth pop
is what I say.
Synth pop, electro pop.
That defines your music
pop,
style.
Indie pop.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just say pop.
Was there any of that in Seattle like, going on? Like
when we were growing up?
Yeah.
For you to. No.
Maybe the aforementioned Barbie Girl.
Yeah.
And maybe like all the tracks by the Venga Boys, but that's about it.
but that sound wasn't, that didn't,
yeah, wasn't
you wasn't
popular,
it wasn't popular then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Are there groups that are following you guys' footsteps like in Seattle and,
I don't know, because we really started the band in New York. So
that's right.
We were sort of disconnected from Seattle, and then we kind of came up in the New York music scene more and then moved to LA like a year ago. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I heard you say in an interview that you're listening to like Tove Lo and mm-hmm. Robin now, and that's mm-hmm. kind of like sort is
yeah that it, direction.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like that, as you say, like electro pop mm-hmm. sound.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And but. Also, as we discussed before, real good vocalists. Yeah. People mm-hmm. that can actually sing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, is there...
Or, like, Passion Pit. I feel like that Passion Pit, for me early on, was, like, one of the bands that I was listening to that I was like, this sound is so cool. This sound is so new. Or even, like, Postal Service.
Yeah.
Yeah, Postal Service.
There you go. That's a song you can cry to.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, I want to talk real quickly. So, On My Way. So, I mean, that... Yeah. So, writing that song... I mean, do you guys have a process to it? Like, do you?
Yeah, that's that one. Was,
that one was, somebody comes to somebody
that one
and goes.
Took a longer journey because we started writing with this producer. His name is Somber. It's like his producer name. And
Somber.
Yeah,
by the way, does he make you pronounce it a certain way?
That
he's
sounds
like the
a,
nicest guy.
The nicest dude.
Of course,
sounds like a code to get into a speakeasy bar.
Fidelio.
What's the word?
Somber. I didn't ask you how you were feeling.
So we wrote with him, and we kind of quickly came up with this with like the verse and the pre-chorus,
yeah.
And we were really into it, and we only wrote for a day, so we didn't quite get like the full song, and it sort of stuck with Lonnie and I after the session. We continued to kind of revisit the song and try to like get the chorus, but it just wasn't like your chorus has to be better, the best part of the song,
yep.
You know what I mean? It's like we weren't able to
beat it,
pre-chorus,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we kept like going back to it because we just really liked the vibe and loved the message of like I know where I want to be, but I'm not there yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got
kind of like the mantra of writing the album,
yeah,
is what it turned into. Because
and
the
once
album-
we got in with John Shanks, who produced the album, we brought the song back in, and he helped us to get the three of us together. Then added the chorus in, and
you know, when he found it was an aha moment.
Yeah, because we kind of he was able to. It's sometimes you get too close to it, you know what I mean? And so we had this thing, and the I'm not gonna stop, gonna stop had actually been like at the end of like the line, and he was like, we should put that like at the beginning, and so it's just like kind of like, oh, okay,
yeah, it's
an aha moment.
So catchy. So is what is this other one I was listening to? End of the Night? Damn. I mean, so the album is called Portrait.
Yeah.
And you can get it on iTunes and wherever.
Get it wherever you want.
Mm-hmm. All of the places.
I want to read some lyrics from the song because I want to ask Lonnie a question. So mm-hmm. I'm seeing things so differently. I'm learning that I'm not where I want to be, but trust me, I'm on my way, mm-hmm. on my way. Not going to stop, driving through the night with the tank on empty. How bad were you thinking about getting out of LFP when you were writing this song? Is that where the inspiration came from?
Straight into Shoreline.
Yeah.
Straight out of LFP into Shoreline.
So when you guys recorded and were like, oh, this is going to be the song we do a music video for, is that kind of the thinking? You're like, this is like,
yeah, I think we knew that song was definitely like
one of the contenders,
one of the best songs, like there's something special about it.
People must lose their minds now for it when you tour with it, right?
Yeah
it's, good. It's really
how
fun
dope
that people
is that?
Dance along to the music. People really lose. We put out a song, our most recent kind of single that we'll get a video shot for it next. It's called Wild Child, and that song is probably the one that people go the most nuts for.
Yeah.
Please let Brad play the Wild Child in the music video.
I mean, I can do it.
I mean, I don't know what the storyboard.
What you got for me?
I can wear as many or as few clothes as possible. Just putting it out there.
If it's a dance video, yes. Like
this guy. Dancer?
Oh my God!
Oh, hell
I'll send
yes.
you both a video later.
I can break dance. I can dance Gangnam style. Oh yeah, let's freaking do this.
Went to a Laker game and he won these tickets. We got to sit courtside, and the dance cam starts happening. And I look at Brad. I go. First of all, we're on our way to the game. I go, Brad, two things. Kiss cam? He goes, I'm in. I go, great. I go, dance, because we're in course cut. I go, dance cam? He goes, yeah, I know what to do. So dance cam's happening.
And comes on to you guys.
And it's cutting. He's just fucking ripping it up. And a dwarf ripping it up courtside, no one's going to not see that. So the entire stadium is going nuts. The anticipation is building, and it lasts about 30 seconds. They're cutting to everybody else but Brad. They're cutting to, like, hot
stupid
girls who are just shaking
kids.
Their heads.
Like, kids dancing.
Well, kids are just flailing their bodies because they're like,
they don't know what to do. They don't have rhythm. They can't step ball change.
Well, they're shaking and flailing because they're like, it doesn't matter how I dance because I'm not trying to fuck yet. And so they're just shaking around, which is true. No 9-year-old girl is seeing the kid being like, did you see how fucking Scott was dancing? Like, I'm not sucking his dick. Like, it doesn't matter at that age. That's why they can flail. So then they cut to Brad at 22 of the 30 seconds, and the place goes nuts. And yeah. we couldn't walk 2 feet afterwards without people wanting a picture or autograph afterwards.
Really? Yeah.
Because you ripped it up.
Yeah. No idea that I was a comedian. They're just like, that was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, he was just.
And then Chris Pratt is next to us, and we're like, oh, okay.
We couldn't talk to him.
Go away, Chris Pratt. I want to see the dwarf dance again.
We went and accosted Pratt because we were trying to get him on the podcast, and I was decked out in Seattle gear, and so he's from Lake Stevens.
That's right.
Which is dope. I was like, great talking point. We followed him into the bathroom. Brad went and talked to him. Brad followed him in, and Pratt was using the small urinal, and Brad goes, wow, just when you're not expecting a dwarf to come in, and you're using the dwarf urinal, and Pratt starts laughing.
That's incredible.
They build a friendship. They come out, and then we start talking to him, and we took a picture, got his number, and he texted me after the game, because then Brad's dance happened about, I think, maybe 20 minutes later, and he texted me afterwards, and he was like, tell Brad that was the greatest shit I've ever seen. I was like, yes, and also I'm never going to not try to text you.
So basically what we're saying is, I can dance.
Yeah.
I really want to see it right now, but this is...
Maybe after the pod. We'll send you the video.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt seems like he'd be just a really cool guy.
Hey, guess what? Coolest guy of all time.
Seems like it.
You can just tell.
I mean, people were swarming, waiting around us, and he was just like locked down. I'm talking to you guys right now.
Yeah.
I was convinced that you went to leadership camp, right?
That might have been the last time I saw you for a good chunk of time, right?
Leadership camp.
It was leadership camp.
In high school.
Yeah, Brad, leadership camp.
Shit, actually.
Is that like ASB kind of thing?
Yeah,
Here's the thing. We were both in ASB. I was senior year, I think, vice president.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah,
you were popular.
Basically what that meant was I ran the student council meetings
Put homecoming on.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, I was more, like, the guy who was president was very, like, his name was Jeremiah
Fulford Foster.
Fulford Foster.
Wait, what the hell?
That's not a presidential name. Jesus Christ.
Fulford Foster?
Yeah, he was a football player. I think he manages Costco.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
Shout out to Jerry. He used to give me free videos at Hollywood Video.
Nice.
And then one time I came in, he goes, Adam, he goes, the senior, he goes, you've had MLB 2001 for nine months. He goes, you got to return that, man. He goes, the late fees are through the roof. I go, Jerry, I got to be honest, man. It's a really fun game. I'm not bringing it back. And he goes, come on, man. I go, not happening, dude. And he goes, all right.
Fucking laid down because he was so non-confrontational.
You did
have a good argument. It is a good game.
Yeah, I was vice president. Yeah. And so
can't overthrow you.
But yeah, so we went to leadership camp, which was in Olympia.
And
leadership camp was the thing that everybody that went to it was like, that was the greatest thing ever. You're just so stupid
I remember I cried certain times.
And everybody else was like,
emotional. It's like Christian camp, but not. It's like everybody really
felt a little
gets
brainwashed.
Into it.
Yeah, like, I feel like they were brainwashy kind of a thing.
Well, no.
No, maybe not.
Brainwashing you to do the good things
it was
in this
good.
World.
Yeah,
help thy brother.
What do you remember about it?
And sister.
But you brought it up for some reason.
Because I am convinced that Chris Pratt was there with us. But I've done a little Google research, and I didn't see anything.
So
what made you think Chris Pratt was there?
The way he looked, I was like, I know this guy. The first time I saw him on TV, I was like, I know him. How do I know him? And then I found out he's from Seattle, and I thought, fucking leadership
camp. Of course he went. Yeah. He seems like a leader.
I think this needs to be an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Seattle, Washington. Leadership camp. Was Chris Pratt there? Unsolved Mysteries is on the case. That's the first time I ever tried to do that impression. I don't know if it was good or not.
Pretty good.
It was good.
Okay. Music helped.
Do you have a memory of him?
I mean, a memory? I don't. I mean, I've just. I guess I didn't even. I mean, no, he was from Spanaway Lake, I think. Something like that. Lake Stevens.
Lake Stevens.
I mean, once I heard that, that's when I. But he was already Chris Pratt.
That was the thing. Is like I knew people that. From Lake Stevens that came to leadership camp.
Yeah.
So. Did he learn how to talk to raptors from leadership camp? Unsolved Mysteries, we'll find out.
So you guys got back from this Carly Rae tour not too long ago.
Yeah.
That was how long and where did you go?
We were gone for almost 3 months because it was two tours stacked back to back. First, we toured with this group called the Knox. Mm-hmm. Fucking killer dudes, nicest guys.
Yeah.
DJ duo, producer duo.
Awesome.
And then we finished that tour here in Los Angeles. Slept 5 hours, or I slept. Thomas didn't sleep. We hopped on a flight, flew out, and started with Carly the next day for another month and a half.
Holy shit.
It's a fucking whirlwind. So two times over, U.S. loop.
And that's just living on a bus?
Living on a bus.
All right.
It is glamping.
Best sleep you've ever had in your life?
Actually, I call it a comfortable coffin. You know, it's like very small.
Not a little great selling point, but okay.
Depending on what kind of coffee
it's very,
you want.
It's very womb-like. It's just it's utter darkness and very cozy.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, it's tough living on a bus, especially like when you're the only chick.
There
was like one other girl, but, you know, it's all dudes. A lot of poop talk.
There's one bathroom and that is a hot topic.
You can't poop on the bus.
Hey, guess what? I'm in favor of that rule always.
Hey, guess what? It's going to cost you $500.
Yeah.
And not only that, they're going to have to scoop it out and it's going to stink up all the bunks.
No, no, so, wait. You literally can't poop
on
the bus. So the bus isn't equipped.
Some are equipped with a thing called a grinder that does what you'd imagine and grinds it up so that it can go down. But it just ends up making the whole bus sound like a honey bucket. You know what I mean?
This bus.
You can pee.
It just would smell like shit all the time.
Yeah. When I was on a tour bus, it was the same thing.
Is this why the Dave Matthews Band got in trouble for dumping shit?
Because they do shit on their bus. That's the thing we've heard. Matthews Band.
They got in trouble
because
they dumped
on their bus,
a bunch of shit
and they're like
in
on
the
a Chicago
bridge. River.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it landed on a boat.
On their bus.
It landed on a boat.
No, it didn't.
Yes. Is that why they got in trouble?
Yes. I will find out.
First of all, you can't. I mean, that's. What are you
First of all, they shit on their bus, which means their bus smells like shit at all times.
That's
for sure.
Terrible.
But also, like, if you're a fan, I mean, you should. And I get the Dave Matthews Band being like, dude, look, we are fucking grinding it. We're putting on these amazing shows. We're working hard. The least we should be able to do is shit and dump our shit somewhere.
Right.
And it's like, what are you going to take it to and you probably just were so backed up, they had to drop it somewhere. Right. And there was a river. They didn't maybe check for that boat. get hit with the shit? Is that why they...
It's on the driver. The driver's the one that
Drenching passengers on an architectural boat tour with 800 pounds of human waste.
Oh my God.
Horrible.
I mean, they were pissed
and
off.
That's where the song Crash Enemy came from.
Yeah. You got Splash your shit, me. You got your pee falling on
I wonder if
me.
There was anybody on the it's boat who was again. Like, when they found out it was Dave Matthews, they're like, oh, well, okay, at least it was.
So funny.
I wonder if it's going to make you more talented. Yeah.
Somebody starts rubbing it in harder.
Give me some of that. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bottom line, don't shit on the bus.
Favorite city you performed?
Ooh.
Seattle was awesome just because so many friends
sold
out. Got by the Showbox.
Folks come and cry.
There it is.
Lot of screaming. A lot of screaming.
Showbox, that's a great venue.
Yeah. Such a cool room.
And then New York, the last show at Terminal 5 sold out 3,000 people. That was like...
And that's a room that we've seen a lot of shows at when we were living in New York. And so it was like, holy shit, we get to play this room.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And you said, but overseas, like London and stuff. I mean, is there a different vibe with fans or the energy? Like...
Yeah, there's definitely when they don't know your music, which, you know, on the Carly tour, like our album hadn't come out yet until not near the end. So a lot of, you know, most of the people there have never heard of us.
Yeah.
And by the end of the show, they're moving and we get them dancing and everything. But, you know, it's like a progression. And overseas, it's like they just want to have
Party.
A good time and they're just like,
again,
let's
the cool
go.
Kids.
Yeah.
Cool European kids.
It is pretty rad to like pick up new fans, right?
Yeah,
like when
totally.
You see your music, like you're going into a space where you're like, okay, these guys aren't entirely familiar, and then by the end they're just rocking out.
We got to see so much on the Carly tour because there's these kids who are obsessed with her and come rushing in to get that front spot.
They've been there since noon.
But they have to wait for all the opening bands.
Yeah, right.
And so they're just waiting there like...
And
like rolling
and
their eyes.
And their attitude is just like, you're didn't sing, call
Carly.
Me maybe.
Right, exactly.
I don't give a shit who you
hurry
are.
Hurry up, is all their faces saying. And we play our first song and they're just like rolling their eyes like, and then second song they're like, okay. And third song they're kind of like start bobbing their head and they're like, oh. And then you see them like, you know, by the end of the song they have their hands up. And
that's
so it's just
incredible.
To see that like flip is like, hey, we just got
so
you.
That's got to like pump you up too to like see the initial face and be like, all right, by the end of this you're going to be.
I'm going to get you.
Yeah. Right? I'm sure that drives you a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Yeah, it's awesome feeling. Then you get to meet people after the shows, and that's always so fun because people are like, I've never heard of you, and I'm fucking obsessed.
I mean, that's
like,
the best.
It's the best.
Those, all those like backhanded compliments like, I thought you were going to suck.
I get people that are like, I hate opening acts, but I loved you. And I'm like, you don't fucking hate opening acts.
No.
Everyone's been an opening act.
Yeah,
except for Beyonce, but everyone has been an opening act. Like, come on.
Yeah, because she shot right to the top, right out of the womb. She's like, this is Beyonce. So, yeah, but everyone has to start. Yeah, everyone has to start at some place, and every band was an opening act. There's that famous story about Kiss opened up for Aerosmith at the beginning of a tour, and by the end of the tour was the other way around. Oh, because wow. Like damn. They because like they weren't following yeah. Kiss with like they had fire and all that shit. So yeah. It's like yeah, you everyone starts off as an opening act. So
yeah. Yeah.
What we're saying is when you go to concerts, go and
give some love.
See the yeah. opening act because right? like, that's and they're that's usually the there because a record label has signed them. They see a yeah. future in them,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and they're probably going to be on your radio within the next year or two.
Yeah, exactly.
So you should definitely go see that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bare Naked Ladies were once an opening act.
That's hard to believe.
Do you know who that is?
Chickeny
China.
The Chinese chicken.
Yes. You can now stay on the podcast. We were going to cut your mic, but then as soon as you threw out the Chinese chicken lyric, we're like,
that's our test.
She
what if
can
that was
stay.
Our podcast, you can stay test.
All right.
Finish this lyric.
Chickeny
China. The organic deep fried bagel bite. Get the fuck out.
We don't care that you're Phil Collins and we've been begging you to come on this podcast. You don't know Chinese chicken? You're out.
I saw you guys are doing Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So am I.
You are?
Shut the
Yeah.
What day are you?
What day?
I mean, the whole time doing stand up.
Oh, you play every day? You play every day?
Every, yeah.
Oh, so we don't
well,
play
maybe,
one day.
No, maybe I'm doing, there's a show called the Goddamn Comedy Jam that's going to be there, which
awesome.
You guys would love because it's basically our buddy Josh Adam Myers created it. They just sold it to Comedy Central. It's basically comedians. You guys do Bumbershoot next year, you think?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I'd love to.
Okay, I'm doing that too, and the show's going to be there too. That would be amazing.
Oh,
so basically, comics do a 10-minute set, and then they tell a story, and then they sing a song with a live band about, and it's like...
The comedian sings
yes,
the song?
Yes.
That they've written, or...
No, any like top four... Whatever.
Oh, I see.
So like, I did Alanis Morissette's sets, Ironic the first time.
Yes,
I'm doing
did.
Four Non Blondes, What's Up, at Moon Tower this weekend in Austin.
Yeah.
Brad did...
I've done AC/DC, because I can kind of do the voice, and I'm going tonight to go to rehearse to do Ba What Da Ba at Moon Tower.
Well, you're rehearsing tonight too?
To
fuck yeah.
We should go together.
Kid Rock's on Warner Brothers, so he's in the family.
Hopefully he hears about this and like goes, you know what? I don't have Joe C anymore, so I need a new dwarf.
Oh man, I need a new dwarf.
God.
We were just in the label yesterday and they like on one of the walls they have like merch hanging up
Yay.
And there's a jersey
that says
00 and then like the name given. On the jersey is Fucks Given. And I was like, whose merch is this? And I turned it around like, oh yeah, of course.
Of course it's Kid Rock. Zero fucks given.
But the show is unbelievable. And I mean, the energy. I mean, also, all comedians are going to be rock stars. The Goddamn Comedy Jam. And they get just, I mean, like Sarah Silverman, Nick Swartzen, Bill Burr, Louis C.K., Dan Cook. I mean, everybody's on it. And now, so hopefully you guys are still there. You can see that. And then we'll do, and then Adam Devine and I are going to do a couple stand up shows. And then just hang and go see. I think Pearl Jam's also going to be there.
Yeah.
And I've never seen them live. Hopefully you guys stay the whole time.
Yeah,
you think
we'll be there. Stay for multiple days, or you just stay for one day.
It depends if we're touring around it. It depends. Yeah.
Have you been before?
No.
Me neither.
No. Yeah.
Apparently, it's
I've done it.
Oh, really?
Have you?
Oh, it's the best.
And you're kind of in the middle of nowhere,
festival.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, because it's not. I mean, I've never been to Coachella, but from what I hear from friends that go, there's that vibe of it's Hollywood, but
it's
visualized. But
it's
but in the desert.
It's not even about this music.
Yes, it's people that want to be seen there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just worried about their Snapchats. So when you go to Bonnaroo, it's the more kind of diehard music fans.
Yeah. And you got a backpack, and hopefully whatever's in that backpack will get you through, 3 days?
I mean, as an artist, you get to go back and forth on a bus to your hotel. It's off-site, so that's nice. And the, and the fact that you can, like, get a golf cart that will drive you to whatever show. There's an artist area at every stage so that you can watch. Like, I was on stage with Vampire Weekend. Like, I was on the stage.
Right, on the side stage, yeah.
Watching him.
It
was great.
I'm going to do that for your guys' show, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you are.
Oh, my God.
Love
I'm
that.
So, I mean...
Bonnaroo is going to be so fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So fun.
It's the best. You guys are going to have a great time. If you're not touring, definitely stay an extra day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got to come check you out.
Do you know what day we're playing?
No. We have no information.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
It's the worst promo we've ever
done. But if we're playing like...
Well,
typical artist style. It's like, check my website. Like, I update my calendar. And then like, when someone's like, do you know when your next show is? I'm like...
tomorrow, I don't know where or when. Like, I literally update it, and that's how I know. Yeah. So I'm like, check Mojo. Like, can't you just tell me? I'm like, I literally don't fucking know, man. Because
if only you had a device in your hand that you're talking to me on right now.
That you could just get off and look at.
Because that's exactly what I'm going to do to find you this answer.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So
after you're done Googling Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken, Google Adam Ray tour dates.
If we play on a Saturday, we'll fly in on a Friday.
Yeah.
And we'll be there. Yeah.
And the website is
CardiKnox.com.
Perfect. For
there's
all
SEO friendly.
The album's on there, the link to the album.
Yeah. Everything.
The music video is on there. Tour dates are on there. And yeah.
Merch. Just, you guys have merch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We just updated our merch.
You guys have some designer. Like, you guys really took time. I really like that about you guys. Like, it's not just.
Well, Lonnie's super fashionable. She always has been.
Yeah. It's not just a white shirt with the band name on it. Like, you guys.
We want you to want to wear it, not because it says our band name.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this is fucking tight. Yeah. We had. The album art was created by this badass street artist that we were huge fans of.
I thought you were going to compliment my graphic design.
Thomas is
the saddest dude face I've seen in a long time.
You even looked at me and then just went right on by.
You think I'm going to talk about you? Nope. This other guy, not in the band. Let me tell you about him.
That was such an Eeyore moment.
It was so sad today. Sweet.
I did the graphic design.
Did you really? That's so dope.
I did some of them. Yeah,
he did some of it. But the art was created, the actual album art was created by this dude, Tristan Eaton.
Nice.
That's like a muralist. He's very...
Yeah, you've seen his stuff.
You see
LA,
his stuff. Sure. Yeah, he's awesome. Fucking badass.
This is going to go out on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Love
it.
And because also there's a show that
Tuesday.
I'm going to with the aforementioned Dwight Engle, who hopefully we can record.
I keep forgetting
Fred,
that Dwight's going to be here.
Is that a Tuesday?
Yes. Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think we have a pod in the afternoon and then not at night. So come
there
to the show.
I'm going to come to the show
and
then I'm going to dance and you're going to see me in action.
I mean, maybe we'll be side stage and I'll send you the links and see how you respond.
Or you try crowd surfing again and see, you know.
You trying to kill my podcast partner?
I promised I would never crowd surf. I promised my girl I would never crowd surf again. I don't know if I could do it.
I will not.
But for you,
I will not let you. There are two things I will not let happen. That and
that.
Just those two things. That's Tuesday at where?
The Echo.
Hell yeah.
Come out.
That's a dope
Echo
spot.
Theater here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Tickets probably at your website or...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google.
Use the thing that's in your pocket.
That
and
whole interweb.
Get the tickets.
Yeah.
They're there. Find them.
They're there.
I thought that was your very passive PC way of encouraging masturbation.
Jerk off.
Use the thing that's in your pocket.
Grab your dick.
Jesus.
Just grab your dick.
Dad
okay.
Move.
Yeah. Just fucking grab it.
Hell yeah. This was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for having
guys.
Us.
You're awesome. You guys are great.
Thanks, Lonnie.
I mean,
LFP shout out.
LFP shout out.
LFP.
Also, if I really quickly want to say, my fondest memory of the Engle family is when they showed me for the first time the video of Dwight riding a bike.
Oh my God, I've watched that video.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Classic. It's a family classic.
I was convinced.
Wait, is this like an America's Funniest Home Videos thing?
We submitted it and it got rejected.
I like how I said we submitted
it. He
says we. You know what? Do you know why?
I'm part of it.
I was so emotionally attached to that video. To this day, I'm going to go on record and maybe there's a way I can get this clip and Dwight after the episode we can post it. To this day,
absolutely can. Absolutely.
I haven't laughed to this day as hard as I laughed. Crying, peeing, everything's coming out because I can't control my body or my emotions.
Brad, shout out to you, Alfonso Ribeiro, who's hosting America's Funniest Home Videos
maybe
now.
Maybe it's time to resubmit.
Well, yeah. Lonnie's dad just digitized all her home
videos,
so they're ready to go.
Thank God.
It's going up on YouTube. Put it on your website.
We got to post it. All right, anyway. I love you guys.
Yeah,
can we get one more verse of Factoria?
Oh, I was thinking Chickadee China.
Chickadee China.
Can
I mean,
you bring those two together?
We don't own those rights.
Not to put you on the spot, but...
Chickadee China? Factoria in the winter is colder than normal. The orange Julius. Oh, fuck.
There is an orange Julius.
There is?
Yeah.
The orange Julius is next to the Foot Locker. Just naming locations.
It's a hit!
Wait. No.
You listening, Warner Brothers?
And after I get some new shoes,
I go to Panda Express to get the chickity China Chinese chicken.
It all comes full circle.
I mean, deep down.
Factoria.
Yeah, that's what it is. Factoria.
Dude, that's actually a pretty. All right. Well, let's go write this.
Yeah, let's go record it right now.
So, that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet.
Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.